Tell you what, he just texted that out this morning. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts, Creator of heaven and earth. So we're in a little bit of a series that you don't have to hear the previous week to kind of tie in with the current message, but it's an end time series. And I thought, do we really need to keep teaching on this? And the Father says, yes, they're not getting it. Not referring to you, but whoever else listens. You all get it. We need to pay attention to these things because the Father has put it deep in my heart that not enough people in the Messianic community are paying attention. See, my concern isn't, no, don't get me wrong, I love them, but my concern isn't the Christian community and it isn't the Jewish community. I love them as possible future brothers and sisters. My concern is the Messianic community. This is where he's planted me. And even the word itself doesn't always work, because what I mean is those who actually call Yeshua their Messiah and dare to follow the example he laid down. That is what a true believer in Yeshua is, a true believer in the one that the Americans call Jesus. 2 weeks ago, we talked about, are you aware of the times? And hopefully I raised some legitimate questions that you should be considering. I hope you've been reflecting about it, because too many people are denying where we're at in history. You know, people are just looking at this whole thing and they're going, well, it's not really the end, Tom. Everybody else has already said that. It's been said a million times. You know, Y2K, we stocked up for years and nothing happened. That's your fault, okay? That was a made-up computer thing. This is a worldwide, you know, something we'll talk about in a little bit. Last week we talked about, are you awake? Because you may be aware of the times, but it doesn't mean you're really awake. Yeah, I know it's the end times. Where are the donuts? Remember? Yeah, they're in the back table. And that's okay, they're cool for that. But are we awake? Are we awake? Because if you're awake, you're doing something about it. You may be aware of it, but if you're not doing anything about it, you know, you may be questionable whether you're awake or not. We discussed how easy it has been for the government and Big Pharma to roll out something that they've convinced us we need. And let's just be honest, without pointing fingers or without being negative to people, they have convinced most of the world they need this. We also talked about the microwave mentality, which is the most concerning for me. Not that we want it fast, it's that we don't want to put any effort in. We talked about the fact that we want a relationship with God, with our Elohim, but we want it on our terms, not his terms. And that's why I referred to it as a microwave mentality. But first, we're going to do what we've been doing every week, and we're going to talk about some headlines in the news. I know you guys, sometimes you may say, well, this is redundant because I already checked this out 4 or 5 hours a day, and if that's you, don't tell me, because I'll tell you to start reading your Bibles and spend like 30 minutes to an hour a day, okay? But I'm just going to share a few things. I think they're important. They're things that you may or may not have heard. Yesterday, the conservative Sixth Circuit overturned the Fifth Circuit's mandate ban for Biden. So what does that mean? What it means is, as it stands today, the mandate of the whole country, not really, the 100 employees and above companies have to mandate the vaccine. It's not going to stop here. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. We know that, right? But this was a conservative court that overruled it. What did I tell you 2 weeks ago? I told you, and I'm not saying that I'm the only one that's had this word, I'm sure thousands have, do not put your trust in the courts. I mean, the Supreme Court is technically 6-3, really probably more likely 5.5, 4.5, or 3.5. It's kind of, we got that one that just doesn't know what he wants to be when he grows up. But the bottom line, does it really matter? Because God is allowing something to play out that is going to fulfill his plan for history. So we can say all we want, well, it's corrupt and it's evil, and you're right, it is. But God's allowing it. Probably because, as a whole, we're corrupt and we're evil, and we allowed this stuff to become our norm in life. As a nation, we allowed corruption to take over. Had we remained faithful to the values that God gave us to follow, we probably wouldn't be in this point in time right now. But let's just focus on reality. The next point. According to the National Center for Biotechnology, a new study claims the 5G technology directly contributes to increasing symptoms of COVID-19 illness and death. This is a new study that has just been put out. So I'm scrambling trying to figure out how do I just shut that whole 5G down and go back to 4G. Did anybody have a problem with 4G where you just couldn't sleep at nights and you needed 5G? I don't know. I don't even know what it is. What is a G? I don't even. Generations, okay. This one's a bizarre one. The Airline Pilots Association of America, and Scott, I know you used to work with the airlines. Well, they actually track commercial pilots, the deaths. And they had 6 deaths in 2020. You want to guess how many they've had this year? 111 through September. And that's just commercial pilots that are actively flying. Yeah, that's what I said. This one's not really shocking, and you may not have heard it, but it's no surprise. Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, everybody knows him, Trump's doctor. He's the quack job that cured Trump in 2 days. Remember that? You know, by giving him that stuff that should kill you, hydroxychloroquine, that saved thousands and millions of lives. Well, he just proclaimed these words. And I think it was earlier this week. The vaccines are the worst crime in human history. Wow. Here's another move right out of the movie Dumb and Dumber. If Phoenix Zoo just vaccinated 75 animals for COVID. Now here's the part where it qualifies for Dumb and Dumber. They're animals on the endangered species list. What did Forrest Gump say? Okay, there you go. So you won't hear this one in America, but in Scotland, evidently, they're not as much fearful of the truth as they are here. Public Health Scotland just announced that since August, that's just what, 4 months ago? Since August, over 90% of all deaths due to COVID have been the vaccinated. It's just statistics. It's all for a point because I need to make you aware of the times we're living in. Because too many, we got another 50, 100 years, we're good. That's for another generation. Maybe not. Maybe it's this generation. Middleburg College in Vermont. Anybody heard of Middleburg College? They are boasting that they have a 99%+ rate of vaccination of staff and students, which is something they're very proud of, but they're very perplexed at why they're having a outrageous outbreak of COVID on their campus. This makes no sense. It's probably that one person's fault. Just a guess. CNBC, everybody knows there is where you find the truth, right? A bastion of liberal left-wing ideology. This was their headline from not too long ago. Question in quotations, why are COVID cases so high when millions are fully vaccinated? I wonder. Well, of course, they blame the variants. And the first question you should ask is, why are they blaming the variants? And it's important because the variants is only the only way they can convince you to keep going back for more and more and more. So they have to come up with something that sounds legitimate. The final thing in the news is something that will shock everyone. You ready? Everybody's seated? Nobody's standing? Female athletes are finally fed up with the trans athletes always winning the competitions. It's true. It seems the utter destruction of women's sports is coming at the hands of the left-wing woke as a joke generation. So that's where we are in the news. And it's hard for me to believe that quite possibly these are similar to the times that Noah was living in. We don't know. The Bible doesn't give us all the details of exactly what was going on at that time, but it gives us one key ingredient that God was so upset, he was so concerned with what's going on, it said that he regretted it, or that it hurt his heart that he had made mankind. Thankfully, You and I are here today because Noah found grace in the Father's eyes, and he had a plan of redemption all along. But for the Father to get to a place where he is brokenhearted about his creation tells you a lot about what creation was doing at that time. So I have a question for you. If you look around in the world out there, all over, whether it's Asia, whether it's Africa, whether it's Europe, whether it's America, do you see anything transpiring that would make the Father proud and pleased? And if you do, it's probably very little. Look within our own community and you'd see there are many things that bring shame to our Creator. So I would suggest to you, at the very least, we should consider that these may be the times of the very end. You can decide, but today's message in this series kind of follows along in the theme of the last couple of weeks, but it is do not be deceived. Because I touched on it lightly last week, the Antichrist will use deception. It's not going to be right there before your eyes and you're going to spot it easily. Everybody's like, no, it can't be this. Even a year ago, I was like, well, we have to have a beast. We have to have an Antichrist for it to... No, we may not. We're going to see today as we look through some of the scriptures that perhaps it's different than what we imagine. Perhaps it's different than all the books that we've read. I've read a lot of them. I read Late Great Planet Earth. I bought into all that. I read the series of The Left Behind. Thought they were great at the time. But maybe it's going to be a little different than we think. And maybe we have to start thinking outside of the box that we put ourselves in. We've got this little box. If it doesn't fit in there, it can't be right. Well, I'm going to tell you, most of the time, we're going to end up finding out we're wrong if we try to limit what God can do and what he's trying to do. And I'll share a couple things with you today that I think will illustrate that. My goal today is to get you to consider the things I share with you. I am not sharing with you as someone standing up here claiming to be a prophet that God has opened my eyes or given me the keys. I could do that and write a book and be right along with all the other false prophets. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say that as I study and as I commit time to the Father and as I spend time with him in prayer and reading his word, you know when he talks to me almost all the time? Is when I open his word. It's speaking to me and I see things differently all the time and I'm grateful for it. So, we all have some awareness of the Antichrist based on all the things that we've read, whether it's books, whether it's based on the scriptures we've read, whether it's Daniel, or whether it's Thessalonians, whether it's Revelation. We have some awareness and we have a limited amount of understanding. It's always bothered me that Daniel says it's for the end times, the latter days, and then we're supposed to be able to read and understand this. And I feel like the Father is going to open our eyes a little at a time. I don't think anybody's going to wake up one morning and have it all figured out. I could be wrong, but let's open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. And I'm going to give you a precursor here because we're not going to try to unpack all of Daniel 7. I'm going to focus on one key area of it, and that's part of my message today. I know a lot of you are probably like, explain all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know all this stuff. But I think I've found a little clue in here that will help us explain some of what we're facing today. So Daniel chapter 7. Verse 2, Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground, and it was made to stand on 2 feet like a man. The mind of a man was given to it, and behold, another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I looked, and behold, another like a leopard with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth, and it devoured, and it broke into pieces, and it stamped what was left with its feet. Here's the key part of this verse. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great blasphemies." So we're not going to take apart all of Daniel here, but I want to focus on it was different from all the beasts before it. See, we have to understand this because we have to go through these things that are written in Daniel, that are written in Thessalonians, that are written in Revelation. We have to go through these things, which is our life, our experiences, our testing, our trials, our purification, in order to get to that thing, which is his kingdom, where our goal is. It's where we want to be. We don't get there without going through this. And I would suggest to you, going through this is not going to be a cakewalk. It's not supposed to be a cakewalk. That'd be a slap in the face to all the people who have walked before us who had to go through trials and tribulations, and they had to deal with issues, and they had to stand strong, and they had to face their but-if-not moments. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Maccabees, all of these people, they had to face moments in time that you and I have never faced, and we've never even come close. His everlasting kingdom is our goal. And the fourth beast is different from all the other beasts that were before it. See, these beasts refer to a kingdom. And this is where the vast majority of prophecy experts all agree, and I think they're probably correct. It refers to kingdoms. The fourth beast refers to the Antichrist kingdom that is coming. I would suggest to you that's here. It's a kingdom that is different from all the other. Well, what were the other ones? The other ones were kingdoms where they had a king or a ruler. They had laws. They had decrees. You had to pay tribute. You had to follow what the king said. But this is different. The other kingdoms were clear cut. You knew who the ruler was. You knew the parameters of the land. You knew what the borders were of the land. You knew if you were a foreigner that was controlled by Greece, that you had to pay tribute to Greece. You knew that when Antiochus Epiphanes came in, we all read about the Maccabees standing up to him. But what about all the other people that said, well, we're going to just follow the laws of the lands? They had to defile themselves. So if you want to partake of the laws of the land, you are going to be asked to defile yourselves, most likely, in some manner, in some way and form. This fourth beast is different, and that's what I think too many people are not understanding. See, I've listened to great teachings. I mean, when I listened to them, they were great. I listened to one teaching, and I'm not going to mention the names because that's not my point and goal, but it was talking about how Islam is going to be, the great caliphate's going to come out of Islam, and he's going to be the Antichrist, and it's going to rule the world, and the whole world is going to be dominated by Islam. And they went through, and he laid out some history. It was probably one of the best teachings I'd ever heard until I realized he was wrong. And I didn't realize he was wrong until a few years later. And I'm not being facetious, but I just opened the book and I read the other day, and it says, he will deceive the nations with peace and the promise of security. Well, you're not going to get that out of true Islam. No. Sorry. You may get a little false promise of that, but true Islam is never going to offer that up. That's not part of their faith. It's not part of their book. It's not being overly condemning of them. I'm just saying the reality is their book says what it says. Okay? Our book says what it says. I don't care how you want to twist Paul's words. You can't change what was written. It's in there. So they were going to come out and rule from a holy city in Islam, and I thought that was the greatest thing. Then I read all these teachings about the Roman Catholic Church. There's a lot more people writing about that, and the Pope is going to be the Antichrist, and, you know, yada, 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 and you probably all know a million guys are teaching on that. And I thought, that seemed pretty logical, you know, Babylon could be Rome. You know, the whole Babylonian system and religion is kind of integrated into Rome. But then I started thinking, well, who's going to pay attention to that? I mean, surely the Catholics will. Some parts of Christianity will. Is Islam really going to go along with that? Do you think the Jewish people are going to go along with that? After probably more people have been butchered Jewish people have been butchered at the hands of Christians than Islam has killed since the time of its inception. Just saying. I know a lot of people don't like to talk about that, but it's true. So I don't think it's the revived Roman Empire per se. Could be some semblance of it. But today I'm going to offer you something that I just want you to consider. I've been saying that a lot lately because I want you to be sure to walk away from here not saying, well, Tom's saying it's this. I'm thinking it very well could be. The world today is controlled by an unseen force. That is evident because you don't have the whole world doing the same thing, even though it's illogical, unless there is something behind it. And yes, you can say, well, Satan's behind it. Well, we know he's behind everything that's not of God. So that's automatic. I mean, 99% of what goes on in the world, Satan's behind that. But Satan is behind it, and I think he's got people in power today that are behind what's going on in this push. And it's way more than just a shot, okay? This is not all just about that. There's a lot of things going on. But here's the reality. If everything the real scientists are saying about this is correct, the real scientists, meaning the ones that are actually looking at the science, the ones that are looking at the real statistics of what's happening. I mean, these are people 40 years, been doctors, immunologists, scientists, the real ones. If they say that, if what they say is true, then this is a mark of a beast, even if it's not the mark of the beast. It's the mark of deception beyond anything the world has ever faced. If this all plays out the way the real scientists think it will, could this be the fulfillment of Revelation 6, 7, and 8? We taught about it two or three months ago, when we talked about the unleashing of the fourth seal. Remember that? The pale horse? 1/4 of the world will be gone. Now, we all were taught in our former lives, well, that's just going to be some horrific event that happens in one day. But what if we've put God in a box again? What if we put Scripture into this box? What if it's not over a course of a day or a week or a month? Maybe if it's 2 years. Think about it. We've been trained to think that a leader of a country will arise and that country will be so powerful that it'll rule the whole world and it'll implement this whole new world order. That's what I thought. That's what most of you thought. If you don't think that today, great, good for you. I'm just coming to the realization that that's probably not going to be the way it's going to happen. But what if it's a conglomerate of power and not an individual country? What if Scripture is right? And it is not like any of the previous beasts in history. What if the disguise is peace and security? Which we know comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it says that is how he will deceive the nations. It says this, when the people are saying everything is so peaceful and secure, then destruction will suddenly come upon them the way labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. And there is no way they will escape. I know it seems we're bouncing around a bit, but please hang in there because this is going to all tie together. The fourth beast will be terrifying. He will first deceive us by promising peace and security. Rich, do you have that slide for us? It's interesting because I'm going to read this to you about this slide. Some of you have already seen it. I know Tom Carey had it on the show. He's the one that made me aware of it. It's all over the news. It was put up a couple weeks ago in New York City. And this is what it says underneath it on the plaque. A guardian for international peace and security sits at the visitor's plaza. I apologize. This is what somebody wrote about it. It says, a guardian for international peace and security sits on the visitor's plaza outside the UN headquarters. The Guardian is a fusion of jaguar and eagle, and it was donated by the government of Oaxaca, Mexico. It does say on there, a guardian of international peace and security. Now, would that not fit in today's world? The UN, a governing body, is going to be our savior, is going to be they're going to come to our rescue. They're the ones that are going to protect us. They're the ones that are going to give us security and peace. Because if you just follow us, we will give you security and peace. That's what people want. That's all they've ever wanted. A lot of people who have already been deceived, it's not that they were trying to rebel against God. They just want peace and security. Unfortunately, we have to look to God for that. A lot of people are making noise of how closely this resembles Revelation 13, 2, and I'll read it for you. It says, "Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority." See, I decided, you know, Mexico says it's a jaguar, and, you know, these people say, well, leopard, it looks a lot alike. Well, how much alike do they look, or are they completely different? You know, a tiger and a lion are completely different, even though they're both cats. But a jaguar and a leopard, very few people in this room, if any, could pick the difference out. Slightly taller head, slightly bigger mouth, slightly different color and spot pattern. Otherwise, the only differences, and they're vast, are in the personalities, in the way they act and interact. You cannot, unless you're an expert, you can't tell the difference of them. Does that mean anything? I don't know. Symbolization seems to be something the elite like to, you know, put out there in front of us. The UN believes that they are the instrument that will bring world peace. If you remember, probably it's been about a year or a year and a half ago, Mike Clayton was here, and he mentioned that he was at The Hague in the Netherlands. And The Hague is part of the UN, and it's where they do a lot of these tribunals, where they do, it's like a court, so to speak. And the woman who was doing the tour that Mike happened to be on, she said, "In the near future, this is where we will judge the nations." See, the UN believes that they will be the savior of the world. And the elites, whoever they are, always tell us up front what they're doing, don't they? Would the UN be like a great beast that no other kingdom has ever seen? Would it be something that has never happened before, where the whole world kind of comes together into one group, one governing body? Now, not every single country on earth is on board with this, but you don't need every country. You get the majority and the rest will follow along, or they'll be cut off and crippled. I'm going to suggest to you that it's very likely that the Antichrist is alive and that he is operating today and that the UN is behind it, and the elites of the world, whoever they are, they remain hidden at this point in time, all have a plan, and everything is going according to their plan, so to speak. Their only hiccup or roadblock so far has been, who knew so many people would reject what they're trying to push on us? And the reason we bring this topic up a lot is because this topic is critical in their plan. It's critical. If you want to know what they have to say, you got to take a look at some places where they've left clues for us. And what I mean by what they say, it means they're telling us ahead of time how they want to govern and what they want the world to look like. Because some of you might be saying, well, Tom, this is just a bunch of hype. You know, you don't really know this, you know. The rabbi I listen to doesn't talk about this stuff. He talks about chesed and love and kindness and all that. Well, good for him. He's not my rabbi, and you know what? Good luck with that. Anybody heard the Georgia Guidestones? How many people know what's written on them? That's one of the things on them. You know what else is written on them? The 10 words. The 10 commandments of their mentality and faith. I didn't know this until yesterday, so I'm not pointing a finger. I had no idea. I knew that they said 500 million. I'm just going to read them to you, okay? Because you want to know what your adversary's planning. And they went so far as to put it into rock, stone, just like the law was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Number one, maintain humanity under 500 million. Now, let me stop a second. As I'm reading these, I want you to pay attention to the words, and I want you to be thinking about how this relates to the left-wing push that's cramming down our throats and the forces that are against our God and our Bible. Just be thinking about those things. Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Number two, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Three, unite humanity with a living new language. 4, rule passion, faith, and tradition in all things with tempered reason. 5, protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Yeah, that'll be the day. 6, sorry, I had to throw that in. 6, let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. 7, avoid petty laws and useless officials. 8, balance personal, now this one's important, balance personal rights with social duties. 9, prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. And 10, be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. This is New Age, far left-wing mantra that has been pushed on us. Do you notice in the news we have a horrific event happen somewhere and it automatically goes to climate change? People die by a term, oh, it's climate change. It's all about nature. It's all about pushing an agenda. And today I'm not going to get into the agendas. There are many. But they're always pushing something that never has to do with the compassion for the people who have lost lives and lost loved ones. Who is going to determine what these things, how these things are executed and played out? Who's going to determine what is reason? Who's going to determine what is fair? Who's going to determine what is truth? This is the world we live in, folks. This is not a world that's overseas. This is a world that has infiltrated America, and it's infiltrated all 50 states. You know, we used to be proud Georgia's a red state. Now, Georgia is on the verge of collapse. And we can all claim, oh, it's a fraud election. You're probably right, but so what? We've got here because, you know what, it should have been 90% to 10% if we'd have been following God's rules and God's instructions all along. It would never have been close enough for them to steal an election. And that's not just Georgia, it's nationwide. What if this guide stones that were placed there by some form of a new world order, there's some sort of an order that the guy who is, I did find some information, a guy was a representative of the anonymous organization, and he referred to them as a world order. So they were installed. What if they are telling us exactly ahead of time what they plan on doing? You know, we all heard the stories about Bill Gates, several other prominent people subscribing to this 500 million thing. Do you know what 500 million is compared to what we have on the planet today? That's 93% of the people gone. Do the math. There's 7.9 billion people on planet Earth today, and it's growing daily, and they don't like it. 500 million, do the division, you come up with 93%+ of the people have to be eliminated. What if the Antichrist is already at work and his goal is being fulfilled and carried out right before our very eyes? Would Satan not try to imitate what is already written? Some of these things that they wrote in here are direct opposition to the Word of God. God is truth. God is the only truth. They are going to determine their truth and tell us what to believe and how to think. Satan has always tried to imitate God's ways. The real Messiah, Yeshua ben Joseph, son of Joseph, is already proclaimed as the king. But his Father, our Creator in heaven, has determined in his best, you know, he's the one that we have to trust. He's determined that we're not going to reveal Yeshua to the rest of the world just yet. Okay, we've come to know him. He's revealed in the scriptures, but he's not in your face. The whole world knows he's Yeshua. The vast majority of the Christian world doesn't really get it. The vast majority of the Jewish world doesn't recognize him. None of the rest of the world knows it. He's really hidden to some degree, but one day his Father is going to go, "This is the time, son, go." And when he breaks forth in the eastern sky, everybody on earth is going to know it's a ruh-roh moment. Would Satan not do the same thing with his appointed man? This Antichrist may be behind the scenes working, doing his job, laying out the framework, the groundwork, and we don't know that he's the Antichrist. It may be somebody we already know. It may be someone new that comes on the scene. We don't know. But the greatest deception of all is for us to think it's for another time, because that means we're not paying attention to what's right before us. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, "And there is no way we'll escape." That is, if we buy into the deception. See, the deception is so powerful that once we're deceived, it's final. Should we not pay attention to these warnings in Scripture? Do we think that we're so holy because we know how to pronounce Yeshua HaMashiach? We probably don't even have that right. You know, I get a native born, oh, it's Yeshua HaMashiach. And we'd be wrong again. We've been wrong our whole life. The bottom line is this, is are we so holy that we don't need to heed these warnings? The warnings were written for us. They weren't written for the people not reading the book. I'm sorry, folks. If it's in the Bible, it's for us.
That's right.
It's not for the people who don't hold the Bible in esteem. It's not for Christians who don't think the Bible is necessary today. It's not for Jews who don't want to see that their Redeemer came and died. Now, it doesn't mean there's no hope for them in the future. We continue to pray for them, and many will come to the faith, but it's for the believers, these warnings. I'm not going to recap what we already know about the shots, because we've done that for a few weeks. But you've got to keep up on with what's going on in the world so that you're prepared how to deal with it. So I'm going to close with some facts. It's really not a close because I'm still 10, 15 minutes out. But I'm going to do a real long closing. We're going to deal with some facts. And I personally believe these facts are indisputable. You decide. I could be wrong. One, we have a worldwide pandemic, but it's not a virus. It's fear. The pandemic is fear, folks. There is nothing we ever should have been afraid about with this to begin with. Fact, billions are already buying into this fear by agreeing to spread it further through their social media networks and their friends and families. Never before have I seen anything like this, where people have just bought in so much that they feel compelled to make you know how stupid you are if you don't buy into what they've bought into. Now, I have not put one post on Facebook telling people who disagree with me how stupid they are. And I have no intention, because I don't feel that way. But that sure doesn't stop them from doing the same to me, or to my wife, I should say. Fact, and this one is going to be tough for some of you to swallow, this is not going away. It's going to be part of our present and our future for quite some time. I don't see an end to this in my natural mind. I do see an end when Yeshua comes, but before that, I don't see an end to it. We better start getting used to it. Fact, once successful in getting the whole world, or most of it, to blindly obey their mandates, because to this point, the reality is people have obeyed the mandate without even really doing the research. They don't even know why they're doing it, other than the fear factor. Once they realize how easy it was, do you think it's going to stop there? The next time around, it's going to be more severe. It's going to get worse. And you can better believe that once they have a little bit of power, it's going to make them want more power. And that's what they live and they feed off of. They feed off of pushing fear and the power that they get from it. Fact, life will never return to the old normal. I'm sorry. We're not going back to 2019. We're not going back to the old way of life. My wife and I, a long time ago, in the last year, we made peace with the fact that we'll never be able to visit our family in Germany again. I made peace with the fact that our travels, which is something we just happen to enjoy, we never overindulged in material things. We love to travel. Our travel is going to be local. It's going to be, you know, around here. And we're okay with it, because you know what? The world has nothing to offer us that we can't live without. Amen? Fact. All of these things that I've said up till this point should not bother you as a believer. See, too many believers spend too much time getting wigged out and worried about the future instead of focusing on who holds the future. Now, we should be concerned and we should be aware, and we should want to seek the knowledge so that we can prevent others from becoming trapped. But in no time should we ever give in to anxiety or fear. That's why we're studying these verses. Amen? Do not fear no matter what. Fact. Some group called the elites, whoever they are, they put it in stone, folks. I'm not trying to be harsh here. They want 93% of the population gone. It's just reality. I don't like it. I think it's corrupt and it's evil. Of course it is. It's not the way God designed things. But these people are not of God. Fact, although there is no way to count exactly how many people the Bible says are going to perish in the book of Revelation, it sure appears an awful lot of them are. How many times does a fourth of the world get taken out? And a third of the world, and a fourth of the world, and a third of the world. The reality is, it's going to be a tough time. But every time you start thinking about that, start thinking about the ones who get the seal of Mark and the mark of God on their foreheads. Amen? Don't ever think that it's beyond you to receive that mark. He's looking in the heart. He's not looking at the outside. Our Messiah said no one would have survived had those days not been cut short. That was Matthew 24:22. So why would we want to pretend that everything's going to be rosy for anybody who knows the name of Yeshua or Jesus? Fact, the Bible tells us the Antichrist is a deceiver. He will deceive us in many things, and he will most likely deceive people with the mark of the beast. Fact, we have a mark of our own. Is everybody aware of our mark? Yes. It comes with the honoring of the Shabbat. You know, the Shabbat is not our mark. It's the choice we make in our heart to honor and set apart the Shabbat as holy. You know, Yeshua is not our mark. Yeshua is our Redeemer. He is our Messiah. He is the one that came to bring us back into covenant with the Father. But he's not the mark. The mark is the Shabbat. Yeshua came to teach the fullness of the Word of God, the way it was intended and the way it was given on Mount Sinai. But do not mistake that some little prayer and the acknowledgement of Yeshua or Jesus is the mark, because it is not. The true mark of a believer is the Shabbat. And the true mark of someone who's accepted Yeshua as Messiah is the fact that they're willing to follow him in his footsteps. Fact, many are called, but few choose, or few are chosen. You know, I used to quabble about that because the Aramaic says few choose, and then our English Bible say few are chosen. Does it really matter? Both are correct. Many are called and few choose to follow him. Few choose to walk the life that Yeshua walked. Few choose to take up their cross and follow him. And maybe because they've rejected that call that was on their life, few are chosen. Fact, this day should not overtake us as a thief in the night. Why not? That's exactly right, Tommy. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if that doesn't get you excited, we got a defibrillator out there. I'm going to smack you on the chest, get you guys going. So why don't we put aside all of our anxiety and cares on him? Why don't we just give that to him? We're memorizing these verses. 1 Peter 5 is not an exercise to make us look holy like we're a righteous congregation. It's for a purpose. It's a purpose to bury it deep in your heart so that you can draw upon these scriptures when you're going to need it, and you will. Cast your anxieties on him. He wants to take them away from you. He doesn't want you to be drowning in anxieties. Fact, God wins in the end. Can we get excited about that? All right. See, the kingdom is not ours, but the promise of the inheritance of the kingdom is ours. The kingdom is his. We need to be working towards his kingdom. We need to be saying, Hineni, here am I, Father. What do you want me to do? I'm ready to follow. I always remember it was the very first word Rhonda taught us when we started doing Hebrew about four and a half years ago. Hineni. More people need to say Hineni. Here I am, Father. I know it won't be comfortable. I know it's not going to be easy. I don't expect that. Just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. It's easy to say fear not. Jim and I talked about this privately. I think we talk about this even in the Michelle Stridham's teachings. We're talking about not saying fear, but A lot of people have had it so long they don't know how to get out of it. And although today is not a whole teaching on that, I'm going to just share something with you that might help you, because I have a feeling there's more than a few people that experience this, and we all can use it if we don't embrace this on a daily basis. And it comes from someone, I don't know the name of the person, Tommy Wade actually shared it with us probably a month ago. And for some reason, it was part of this thing he shared. I just felt compelled to put in my notes that I hold on to for the future. And I thought it would fit in here today because it deals with fear. And how do we make changes to get rid of it and to expel it from our life when it's become a habit? It's become something we just deal with day in and day out. So this is from some guy I don't know. If you want to know, Tommy, you may recognize it when I'm done, but Tommy shared it with me. I'm going to share it with you. And it says, in quote, "How do I make this monster within me into a cooperative colleague? It doesn't take meditation, incantation, or invitation. It takes walking, just starting, taking the steps of obedience. Find that place where you're out of alignment with God's instruction and correct it. Walking by the Spirit is not some deep secret mystery reserved for angels and mystics. With an open heart, each of us just starts following God's instructions and life begins to change. No excuses, please. No rationalizations, no alterations, and no exceptions. Walking is a way of life. It is a practice, practice, practice. We all make mistakes. So what? Keep going, and you will find that the Spirit has been prodding you all along. Passion becomes your partner in the practice of godly perfection." So if you want to overcome fear, it's one step at a time, one little thing at a time, and be determined. Put some effort into it. Put as much effort into it as you put into other things. Be focused. Avoid the things that cause you to think and slip back into fear. That's what Yeshua is talking about when he says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's a euphemism. It's a statement that basically says, get rid of the things in your life that are causing you to do that which is contrary to my word. And if that's fear, if that's anxiety, if that's you can't handle stress, then you need to start focusing on the things that need to be eliminated in your life. And don't be afraid to have somebody help you with your accountability. Satan lives in a delusional world. And I say that because I think Satan thinks he can actually win. It's a delusion. In due time, Satan will reveal the man that he's chosen to be the man of lawlessness, the one that we call the Antichrist of the Bible. But don't you dare think that until he's revealed, he can't be doing things behind the scene. He may be already at work, because you know what? Paul wrote almost 2,000 years ago, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It's already in the world. It was already exposed. Peter later said, you know, these are the last days spoken of the prophet Joel. Last days, 2 days, 2,000 years. See, time has no meaning to the Father like it does to us. So the reality is he's already at work. He's already in the world. He's been in the world trying to deceive the world. And if you want to walk this out and you want to finish the race and you want to make it to the kingdom, the first thing you need to do is make sure you are not deceived. That was the warning Yeshua gave to us, not just Paul. But Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, it says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he's out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Yeshua will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refused to love the truth and be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in righteousness." Wicked deception is from Satan. Doesn't matter where it happens, how it happens, wicked deception is from Satan. And those who fall for it, It's usually because they failed to trust God. If that's been you in the past, don't fret about it. Repent. Repent. We don't know for sure exactly where we are in this lineup. We don't know for sure exactly what all these things going on really are. I look at it and I think I know. But you know what? God often tells me, you don't know squat, son. I've heard that more than once. But what I do know is what they're telling us in the world is a lie. Every bit of it has been a lie so far. And none of it lines up with reality. That tells me what they're telling us is ultimately from Satan. The whole world is bought into this madness. The madness is thinking it's going to preserve your life. When it is not, it's proving otherwise. Israel is the Holy Land. It's where the Holy Land is located. But Israel is one of the top countries on earth buying into this madness. The Christian church is the largest religious organization on earth that's buying into this and promoting this madness. They've bought into fear and fear alone. If you listen to the reasons that they give, it's all fear-driven. Even the pastors that are pushing, it's all fear-driven. Anybody know who FDR is? If you know anything about him in history, you'll know he was anything but a Christian. But yet he had something to say that was more profound than most of us realize when he said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. What do we have to fear, you and I? Just one thing, the great I am. I'm going to close with a final warning from Proverbs 12:5. Because before I read this, God did not give us a spirit of fear. So anytime fear comes over you, you need to recognize it's a spirit. If you recognize it's a spirit, you can do something about it. The minute you start saying, well, it's just the way I am. It's just the way I was raised. Yeah, it was. But it's time you tell that demon to take a hike. It's time you start taking control of your life and saying, I was not destined to live like this. You know, you look through the Bible, there's dozens of places it talks about we're destined to a fulfilled life. That fulfilled life is spiritually. Don't put that into material things. We're destined for things that we're not walking out. It's a spirit. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You've got to memorize that. Because we're heading into a time when the rest of the world's going to be in fear. And you're going to be called on to say to somebody, fear not. Because my God is greater than what they're trying to do out here. Proverbs 12:5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are just, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. So just as Paul warned you in Thessalonians, I'm warning you today, do not be deceived by this strong delusion. Amen? Let's close in prayer. And part of this prayer is going to be from Psalm 2, you'll recognize. Heavenly Father, creator of all things, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves up and the rulers take counsel together against you, O Lord, and against your anointed one, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. But you who sit in the heavens laugh. You, O Lord, hold them in derision. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve Jehovah with fear and rejoicing, with trembling. Let us be one, unified with the Son, lest he be angry, and we perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Father, may we be one with you and one with Yeshua. May we be echad, the way Yeshua was with you as he walked this earth. May we find refuge in your word, and may we cling to it for our very lives. May we walk in the authority and the boldness that you expect from us, your sons and your daughters. May we embrace this time in history that you have placed us. And may we lead many to your kingdom by sharing the truth of the Gospels the way Yeshua presented them throughout history. May we be alive and walking in righteousness so that we are the generation that says, Baruch Abba B'Shem Yehovah. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. Yevarekaka Yehovah Ishmereka. Yair Yehovah panavlecha vihunecha. Yisa Yehovah panavlecha ve'asem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance unto you and bring you his peace. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen and amen. Thank you. We have any questions?